Hello, everyone. This is Reverend Dr. Edvige, and once again, it is a sheer delight to be here with you today. Welcome in. Today, we are going to be discussing women's health with a health living specialist, Latricia Wright, and she's the founder of the Olive Seed. And so it's going to be really interesting because we're going to talk about all sorts of different issues that women have and how we can address those things and bring things into balance and harmony with the use of herbs and different modalities and things like that. So that's going to be exciting. But first, I always want to remind you what I am all about, affirmations for living. As you know, it really is about affirming a positive way of living. It's about giving you the tools from week to week to help you to embrace your awakening for your expansion and what that looks like for you. And so if you haven't already downloaded my app, it is still free, and it's called Awakened, A-W-A-K-E-N-E-D. I invite you to do so. Every Monday, we send out free affirmations. And, you know, affirmations are those words that we want to keep using to tell ourselves that things are going in the right direction. They're ways of reprogramming our subconscious. So it's a wonderful tool to have. But also, if you go to my website, affirmationsforliving.net, you will find all sorts of wonderful things there. For example, there are 13 categories of affirmations for you to choose from if you're really wanting to get into using those positive words to affirm new belief systems. Also, I have guided meditations, and the guided meditation I have available is really wonderful because it has the 9 ancient solfeggio tones embedded within it. And if you're not familiar with those tones, we understand that everything is energy and frequency. And when we put the right combination of those tones and frequencies together, we can make all sorts of wonderful things happen. And so the 9 ancient tones are tones designed to balance your chakras, to get that pineal awakened, and to get you really going into reaching and connecting into your higher self. So if you don't meditate, there is an easy way to do by just simply following a guided meditation. And I have one available to you on my website, affirmationsforliving.net. And of course, you know that I do spiritual transformational life coaching. So I provide you the tools to help you to embrace your awakening, to find your soul purpose, to do whatever it is in this life that you desire to do. I have the tools to help you do that. So I would encourage you to go to my site and connect with me to move forward with doing that. And also, if you have not heard, my book is almost ready. It's called, of course, You're Not Crazy, Your Awakening. And it truly is a journey of self-discovery. It's wonderful because it has both the paranormal in there because, you know, if you've listened to my show from week to week, you'll know that I've been visited by benevolent ETs or interdimensional beings, as they rather be called. But I've also gone to other worlds and seen lots of amazing things and information. And so this awakening has truly been hands-on for me. I even have videos of orbs flying and dancing around me and all sorts of amazing things that I share in the book. So it'll be coming out probably somewhere towards the first week of September. And again, it's called You're Not Crazy, Your Awakening. So I invite you to, again, continue to go to my website and look for the details because there will be a page directly on my site where you'll be able to purchase that. And so I would encourage and invite you to do so. So I think that's it for now. Again, Latricia Wright is our guest. So I invite you to tune in. If you have any questions, feel free to give us a call and we'll get those answered for you. All righty, we're going to take a break and bring her in. Hello, everyone. Once again, we are back. And, of course, I am Reverend Dr. Edvige. My guest today, Latricia Wright, is with me. So welcome in, Latricia. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing well, enjoying the overcast skies in too hot Las Vegas. So I'm truly enjoying that it's overcast right now. And hopefully we'll get some rain. We had a drizzle a few moments ago. We don't get enough of it, trust me. So You know, today our conversation is all about women's health, and it's so important because we go through so many different stages of life, and it's so interesting if you really were to sit back and take a look at it. You know, as a child, we're so in a hurry to make it to those teenage years, and then we have those crazy hormonal things that begin to wake up in us, right? And then we have our childbearing years, and you have all of those issues and things that happen, and you have health concerns at that time. And then we have our going to the other side of that after the childbearing years, and what hormones and different things can do to us. So there are so many different stages to a woman's life and health and well-being that I thought it important to really dedicate this hour to our specific needs. So welcome in, and I really appreciate the time and discussing these things. So now you are the founder of The Olive Seed. If you would just tell us a little bit about, you know, your mission and the work that you're doing.
Okay, well, Olive Seed is a natural health and wellness practice, and there I serve as the body chemistry analyst and herbalist. And I test urine and saliva to detect mineral imbalances and energy loss in the body. I use nutrition and custom herbal preparations and natural supplements to help restore the body's vitality and energy-producing capacity. My approach there is non-invasive, non-toxic, and effective for achieving and maintaining health. I've taken it a step further, and I've created a children's program. I do nutrition education and physical activity education for children. Mm-hmm. I am also writing a children's book to further assist me in those endeavors.
Okay, so in layman's terms, you take the blood, you take different things in, and you test them to see what the particular person is missing in their system. Is that what you're doing?
I do. It's urine and saliva that I test.
Okay, urine and saliva. And, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And it reveals I'm sorry.
No, continue, please.
Okay, it reveals a variety of things. There's 7 tests that is performed on the specimens, and it reveals the sugar, which is the conscious number, and tells me the available energy in the body, as well as the digestive speed, calcium levels, energy levels, mineral loss, energy loss, protein uptake, potassium. It's a very comprehensive plan.
Oh, wow. And mm-hmm. Those things are important to us for what reason?
The test, you mean?
Well, finding out the level of particular things in your body. Why is it so important to know the level of calcium? Why is it so important to know these things in our system?
Well, balance is key, and if one is low in calcium, they may be experiencing back pain or experiencing different things or tooth loss and not understand why. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as far as sugar, they might not understand having blackouts. Not enough sugar decreases the oxygen as well as too much sugar in the body. So the key is balance.
Okay. So it's important then to understand that you need to have a certain level of lots of things in your system for your system to be working more than functionally, but at an optimal capacity then. Because people don't understand that, you know, and lots of people don't take supplements. So it's important that you understand, well, how do I get this balance? So what you eat truly really does matter, and understanding mm-hmm. the balance of these things. So now I know that you're working on your master's in herbs. So where does this interplay with understanding the balance of these nutritions and these, you know, supplements and all these things in your system? Where do herbs come in?
Well, it adds as an aid, you know, because I want to be able to treat the whole body and not just supplements or food, but also herbal aids as well. So mm-hmm. understanding the plants and how they play a role in our body and how they're able to balance helps me to create a whole plan for my clients.
Okay, so why should we use herbs?
Oh, my. Well, herbs, they offer a means to maintain balance in the body. Mm-hmm. They are intuitive. They're resilient. And in my opinion, herbs are the most natural way to cure all kinds of diseases, from the minor ones or minor ailments to the most life-threatening ones.
Wow.
Herbs are plants that can be used for flavoring, food, medicine, perfume. They can be stored in a number of forms, and if they're sealed and stored properly, they'll last 20 plus years and not lose their potency. Now that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's
and
really
so
amazing.
For me, herbs have been and are magical. They are medicinal, and they're marvelous.
Wow. Yeah, you know, and so many people don't even understand that we have seasonings for the food, and we're like, okay, cool. I'll use a little thyme for this or a little cumin for that because it tastes good, right? But not recognizing the fact that it actually has medicinal value to it then, really. So you can, you know, and for me, I mean, I read that book Back to Eden when I was 12 years old, and it's all about herbs. And so I, you know, I definitely have an understanding of, but I don't think that not everyone listening today has an understanding of how important these herbs have in, you know, playing to your health. So what are the different types of applications then that we can use herbs for?
Well, there's fermentation. You have poultice, salve.
What's a fermentation?
Oil. Fermentation, that's a method of applying herbs to convey heat, moisture, and medicinal aid in order to relieve pain, reduce inflammation, stimulate circulation, and or relieve congestion. It also helps to get rid of toxic waste and materials that are in the body. So the way that you do this, you would take an unbleached cloth and soak it in a very warm herbal tea infusion. You want to wring it out just a little, leave it wet but not dripping. You apply the fermentation to the body part that's needed, as warm as can be tolerated, and to hold it in the heat, you would cover the tea-soaked cloth with a warm towel. So this fermentation aids in circulation, you know, and healing the area. And fermentation is a powerful and effective hydrotherapy remedy that dates back, you know, to the 18th century for treating disease by using water, excuse me, at different temperatures and in different ways.
Okay, so that's one. What's another one you were saying?
It's the poultice. Now, the poultice is similar to the fermentation. But the poultice, you can use fresh herbs, dried herbs, or food. So, say with powder herbs, you would use powder or pulverized herbs. You can moisten it with water, tincture, oil, salve, and you would just apply that to the skin and cover it. With fresh herbs, you want to bruise the leaf first. And by bruising the leaves, you are exposing the chlorophyll, which aids in healing. Then you would apply that directly to the skin and wrap it. Now, if we're using food, you could use cabbage. There's cabbage or white potato poultice, but I'm going to speak on the cabbage poultice. That improves lymph drainage and is helpful in removing toxins. And the way you would administer that is you would chop green cabbage enough for the area, place it in a blender with just enough water to make a thick paste. Then you would spread it onto a clean towel and then place that over to the area and wrap it. Now you can leave this on for about 15 minutes to an hour, depending on the condition, and repeat as often as needed with fresh cabbage, of course.
Now, and you said that that would be for lymphatic drainage?
And
so where would you
toxins.
Put it? So where on the body, because I'm like trying to picture this, where in my body would I put that? I mean, we're going to really get down to the nitty-gritty here, okay?
It can be placed under the arm where the lymph, one of the lymph nodes are located. You can put it on the stomach area where the liver is located. On the leg, you have lymph in the leg, wherever it's needed.
Oh, that's interesting. And so now, okay, so we're saying that we need to drain our lymph nodes. What do you know what lymph nodes are, and why is it then important to drain them? And why don't they do that naturally?
Well, it depends. If they're constipated, you know, again, with our diet and our lifestyle, then they won't drain normally. They will not. So another therapy that doesn't have anything to do with herbs is a trampoline. It's very effective in helping to drain or increase the circulation of the lymph nodes.
Yeah, I see that those are really popular, those little mini trampoline things all over the place. And so I guess then that would be a really good thing to incorporate into your daily routine. Okay.
Indeed.
Oh, wow. Very interesting. Okay, so we covered poultice. We covered the soaking the cloth. What are the other ways or applications for herbs then?
Well, you have your salves, and those are the ones that you will notice will be mixed with beeswax or vitamin E to preserve them. And then that's just the dried herb or fresh herb that's used with that. You have the oils, and then that's just the aromatic portion. You can use it for culinary or for medicinal uses. You have your tincture, which is a diluted extract of extract form. That's usually with glycerin or alcohol. And then there's an inhalation, where you use steam to administer herbs into the nose, the mouth, or the sinus ailments. And that can be done in the shower. It can be done over the bowl, over the stove.
Wow. And I'm kind of familiar with that one, because I know eucalyptus, and people will recognize, you know, when you're not feeling well or you're stuffy, you might put some eucalyptus oil in water and inhale it, and that will always help to clear the sinuses. So, okay, very cool. How can our audience use herbs in their food to help prevent seasonal illnesses?
Well, there's a lot of options when it comes to cooking with herbs.
Okay.
You can use herbs to flavor oils, as I mentioned before, which is a fantastic way to give your cooking a new and fresh spark. Your vinegars, you can make homemade butter with herbs, your poultry or your fish, sauces, or dressings. Now, for me, I make my own salad dressings and a lot of my own sauces. So a simple recipe for a dressing would be like a freshly squeezed lemon, some clean oil, maybe olive oil, and some herbs like onion powder or garlic powder, oregano, thyme, basil, parsley. It's really up to you and what you would like to create.
So now how would these things prevent seasonal illness, though? So what specific herbs?
Let's take turmeric, for example. It's an anti-inflammatory. It has immune-supporting properties, and it also helps with arthritis. So you could use that in a rice dish. There's one in particular, lemon rice, which is a South Indian dish that has coriander seeds, which is an anti-inflammatory, also a source of iron and magnesium. You have mustard seeds, which is a great source of selenium. Curry, ginger, you know, those types of things. So adding a few herbs, you can create delicious medicinal meals. Fennel helps to digest fat. Oregano is good for cold. Cumin helps with indigestion. And sage helps with cough. So if it's seasonal, let's go with winter, and you need something that's great for cough. Definitely a homemade spaghetti sauce will be great, because all of these herbs are high in vitamin C and as well as anti-inflammatory.
So, okay, you know, say I'm going shopping and I want to buy some new herbs. What would be the five top herbs to have in my pantry that are going to help to, you know, do a lot of things, everything from balancing to perhaps increasing my immune system to inflammation? What would be the five top herbs that I could easily use every day? Because, you know, not everyone's going to cook with cumin unless you like that flavor. So what would be some five basic herbs that are going to give me the most bang for my buck?
Basic herbs, I would go with probably the common herb. Definitely cayenne would be on the top of the list. That's very important. Parsley, I would say. Basil. I would go with cilantro. And probably oregano.
Now, why did you choose those five?
I chose those because they are common. People would be able to identify and know what they are, and they provide a range of medicinal values, from anti-inflammatory to, you know, blood stimulating and those things of that nature.
Okay, wonderful. So, yeah, that's something for everyone to remember and really try to start to incorporate those things daily into their diet. I know I love cayenne pepper, so that's an easy one for me. I like everything hot. I'm West Indian. Hello, we like hot.
I just want to add, I said parsley, too, because it has the ability to remove toxins from the body, and cilantro has the ability to remove waste from the body.
Good to know. Okay, so parsley, toxins and waste. So a good thing, and easy to incorporate, because, you know, cilantro you can put in your salad. Wonderful. What are some of the physical ailments that are addressed with herbs prepared in foods? So how would we, okay, a real common one is arthritis. What could we put, herbally speaking, in our food to help with some arthritic pain?
Well, that's the cause of inflammation, which is the root of many chronic diseases. So I will again begin with turmeric. Turmeric is at the top of the list. It helps reduce inflammation in the body. It decreases physical pain, reduces swelling, it heals wounds, and increases mental clarity. And it also enhances the intestinal health. Cloves would be another one, another anti-inflammatory with antibacterial properties. Ginger, again, anti-inflammatory. Cinnamon, it enhances your antioxidant defenses, and it's also an anti-inflammatory. I would say burdock root would be definitely a great one. It's very good for arthritis, and that would be taken as a tea form.
Wow, wonderful. Okay, what about another common ailment in America, right, is diabetes. So are there any particular herbs that could help balance your sugar?
Any dark green leafy, chaparral is very good with that. But the dark green leafy vegetables, wheatgrass is good, or herbs, I meant to say, it's very good. It has the ability to reduce blood sugar in the body.
Okay. Now, I know we already kind of talked about what herbs to use to detoxify the body. So, you said, was it, what are the main ones that you would take to just detoxify the body?
Well, I would say red clover is very good. Again, burdock root, dandelion is very good. And that can be taken in tea form, can be used in a salad. It has liver cleansing properties. It stimulates the bile, and it helps to transport toxins out of the body, which is very important. And it also helps to boost the immune system. Milk thistle is good. It also is a liver and gallbladder supporter, and black walnut. It's natural. It's an antibacterial, antifungal, and antiseptic support, and it also helps the thyroid.
Wow, this is a lot. My
Yeah,
goodness, it really is, and it almost sounds overwhelming. It's like, okay, I do take turmeric every day. I have it in capsules, so I have, organic turmeric, and I'm trying to think, okay, what else do I need to take? Oh my goodness. Yeah,
but if
but
you've
the
noticed, a lot of the herbs have some of the same properties. So it just depends on what your taste is and what exactly it is you're looking to support.
Okay.
But, this is providing you people with a wide range of variety of herbs because, again, alfalfa leaf is good, but you don't have to take it as an herbal tea, eat the sprout. So incorporating these things into your diet every day can ensure a balanced diet.
Okay.
Alfalfa, peppermint, it's good. So for the winter, you ask me what's good for cold, peppermint is great.
And I had a cup of peppermint tea before we got on today. So, okay, easy ways to implement and bring these things in. So now, it's so funny as I'm thinking of all these things and I can hear people saying, oh my God, how am I going to remember all this? This is stressing me out, which leads me to the next question. What would be some really good herbs when I get stressed out?
Well, let's see. For herbal support, I would recommend a warm bath with lavender, a cup of tea, maybe mint or chamomile. But I would also suggest like deep breathing exercises,
Okay.
good nutrition, sleep is a huge part, and exercise. And it doesn't have to be vigorous. I would just say walking. Thomas Jefferson said it best. He said the sovereign invigorator of the body is exercise, and of all the exercises, walking is the best.
So now, if someone then has sleep issues, right? Which would cause stress to the body because you're supposed to get anywhere from what, 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night, and I'm not sure how many Americans are actually getting that. What are some simple ways of helping, to get more restful sleep?
One would be to reduce the stress, because a lot of times the HuffPost survey revealed that a lack of sleep is a major cause of stress. So I would say, in order to get sleepy, maybe take some relaxing teas before bed. Chamomile is one of those, catnip to assist you in relaxing. Maybe not having stimulating drinks or foods right before bed, and just taking time to relax and meditate right before sleep. A lot of us are on the computers or watching television right before bed, and we're stimulated and wired because of what we've eaten right before bed or what we've consumed in beverages. So I would say, you know, taking time just to relax and pray and meditate, and perhaps having a relaxant tea, something like chamomile or catnip tea right before bed.
Okay.
And a nice, warm, relaxing bath. That definitely could help.
So you mentioned what you eat. So how, you know, if you're going to bed at midnight, what's the latest you should actually eat something? And does that matter?
I would say 8 o'clock to give your body enough time to digest the food so it's not working overtime while you're sleeping. You want to give it your food enough time to digest and enough time to eliminate before you go to bed.
Okay. Wow. Now, you know, I want to get into women issues, particularly menopause and all the things that go along with hormones. So moving into that, are there any herbal therapies specific to menopause?
Oh, yes. You have your Dan Kua, which is a Chinese herb that aids in hormonal balance. It has iron and it's high in vitamin E. It's also referred to as the female tonic. You have black cohosh that has a natural precursor to estrogen. There is chasteberry that contains estrogen as well. But I read before that chasteberry reduces libido, but I noticed in some of the earlier or the later herbal books it says it doesn't. So I would use this one with care.
Okay.
There's ginkgo biloba, which is very useful for menopause and postmenopausal women because of its effect on the vascular system. It's especially useful in relieving both the cold hands and feet, and often help with forgetfulness, which is a lot of complaints of women in menopause. Blessed thistle. It's just as useful as black cohosh, so you can use one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Burdock root, again, is a cleanser and also contains estrogen precursors. It's also a good tonic and healer. Siberian ginseng is a hormone balancer for both women and men. And it improves stamina and energy levels, especially when combined with sarsaparilla. Sarsaparilla promotes energy and ambition, which a lot of people in menopause are complaining about. They have a lack of energy and ambition. So kelp, adding kelp to the diet, should be eaten every day. It's helpful in alleviating and preventing menopausal symptoms. Nettle leaves are very good. Can be taken as a green vegetable as opposed to a tea. So that can be something that's good to add to the diet. It's a good source of calcium, magnesium, chlorophyll, chromium, plus a host of other vitamins and minerals.
Wow.
And again, your alfalfa, I would definitely add that. That also has a whole host of vitamins and minerals, especially vitamin K.
Wonderful. So a basic question. You have this thing, menopause, and then we have perimenopausal. So when exactly does a woman start this process of menopause? Is it in her 30s or 40s or 50s, 60s? What are these stages?
Well, again, a young girl could be in menopause, and that's the beauty of the work that I do. Calcium plays a huge role in the body. It is the most important mineral present. So if it drops too low, a girl that's 17 or 18 can go into menopause, meaning she would not have her menstrual cycle, or it can be 30. It just depends on the balance of the body, the available minerals, and that's why it's important to eat a balanced diet every single day. Every single day. You want to make sure that you're eating foods that are easy to digest and assimilate. You want to eat foods that are high in chlorophyll, like your dark green leafy vegetables. That's very important. So it doesn't matter the age. A lot of times it matters the available minerals to the body, especially calcium.
So if you are in your 50s and you're still menstruating, would that be an indicator that you're really healthy and have lots of vitamins in your system then?
It could be. And your transition, if their diet is very high, could be just seamless. Because a lot of people go through those withdrawals and those different issues because of the mineral loss, because the mineral isn't there. So, they, you know, it's easy to go through it when you are healthier. And that's why it's important. not just for the 55-year-old, but for the 14-year-old or for the young lady who's considering conceiving a child. It's very important. The foundation sets the stage for the 55-year-old.
So minerals then really are a key to female health, particular calcium.
Oh, yes.
So it's really important that we understand that. Now, you know what, though? The key, you watch television, and they have so many different formulations for calcium. And I'm very familiar with the idea that there needs to be a balance of magnesium for the calcium to actually be effective and beneficial. Because if it's not, it will actually seep from your bones. And that's not a good thing, because that's osteo. So explain to the audience how important the particular type of calcium and what is the best form of calcium for us to ingest.
Well, it depends on your body chemistry. There are alkalizing calciums, and there's also acidifying calciums as well as neutral calciums. So I would say stay away from calcium carbonate unless it's a good form, because a lot of times the ones in the store aren't. There is a coral calcium. You have your hydroxide. There are different forms depending on where you are, but the neutral form is a gluconate. And but you can get that through food. If you eat the dark green leafy vegetables, those are available through food, and you can get a variety of them, because at certain times we need, excuse me, all of the calcium, alkalizing or acidifying. But if we eat our food, dark green leafy vegetables, we can get a variety of those, and we would have to take supplements. Now, today, the problem is our soil. So if our soil is missing the mineral, so will we.
Mm-hmm.
So I would even take it a step further and begin get to know your farmer or grow your own food. Buy your food from someone who has, you know, morals and who has healthy soil practices, I would say.
Absolutely. And then another thing is, of course, you know, I have an ionizer, and a water ionizer, it actually has your potassium, calcium, and magnesium in the water. And that's another thing that people don't pay attention. They buy bottled water, you know, that's stripped of its mineral content. And so when you're drinking water that does not have the minerals in it, then that's actually what can also help to leach the minerals from your system, the calcium from your bones. So you really need to make sure that your water has calcium in it.
And it's important because our body does whatever it needs to do to keep us alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it needs calcium, it pulls from the bone. It doesn't know, well, I'm causing back pain. It just knows we need calcium. So that's why it's important to eat a balanced diet as well.
Absolutely. Wonderful. So now, a wonderful question, because I know when so many people go into this menopausal stage, their hormones start to get out of alignment, and then they wind up with weight gain that they've never had before. So what herbs then could support specifically weight gain and not wanting to have weight gain?
Well, chickweed, and especially, it's good. It benefits the whole system. It soothes and cleans and paves the way for healing of toxic-related problems, and it reduces fat. And another one is heartbone leaves, which is great for the heart. It helps to break down fatty deposits in the blood, and it gently dilates the capillaries so that the heart can function more efficiently. It improves the peripheral circuit of the body and its ability to utilize oxygen. So I would say heartbone and chickweed are the two herbs that will support women with weight gain, as they both reduce fat.
Wonderful. Yeah, I can imagine. That seems to be, you know, a common issue amongst what night sweats and things like that. And so, very cool. And then what are some natural remedies for fatigue?
Well, there's a combination of reasons for someone who would be lacking energy. And that could be poor diet choices, lack of physical activity, increase in stress or fatigue, disrupted sleep again, or anxiety. So I would say start with food for sustained energy, like your chia seeds, your pumpkin seeds, sesame, sunflower, nuts, especially almonds, and again, your fresh raw vegetables and fruit. The green vegetables in particular will be collards, kale, spinach, dandelion, and your super greens like your blue green algae, your barley grass, your wheatgrass. Those are loaded with nutrients such as beta carotene and iron and protein and chlorophyll. The herbs would be bee pollen. Bee pollen is especially great for energy. It can be added to smoothies, and it can be sprinkled on salads It's a very easy form to take, or in capsules. Again, ginkgo biloba. It's an herb that improves energy flow at the cellular level, which is very important. Ginseng would be one. It's primarily used for tonic for fatigue and stress. Nettle is good. Your licorice. It's been used over 3,000 years and has a beneficial adrenal tonic and is used to combat chronic fatigue. And yellow dock and alfalfa. Again, alfalfa sprouts would be great to add. They're high in iron, calcium, B vitamins, and other energy-enhancing nutrients, and they're easily assimilated.
Wonderful. Yeah, I love licorice tea. I drink that all the time. So I just drank it because it tastes good. I didn't know it had any value, but it does taste good. That's so funny. You know, it's so very interesting. I mean, I have a cupboard full of herb teas, let me tell you, all sorts. And I drawn to just certain things and, you know, guided to take certain things, not really even knowing why, but they're in there. And so every now and then I go in, I'm like, oh, let's have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And before you know it, you have a balance. And so it really is about experimenting and discovering what's going to work best for you. And trying then to incorporate these things gently into your daily routine seems like that's what's going to make the biggest difference. So it's very interesting and very cool how that works. So what would you suggest then to put in that herbal toolbox?
I would go with cayenne first.
And for those who don't know, cayenne pepper picks up the metabolism. In addition to being hot and tasting good and helping with pain, it picks up that metabolism. So if you're sluggish and you want to, you know, probably start your diet or just have that little edge, a little cayenne pepper every day is a good thing.
Yes, it increases your circulation as well. So that's very good. Mustard seed, I would say. Plantain. It's very good for drawing out toxins of the body. It's very good for insect bites. Yarrow. It's a diuretic, so it helps you to sweat. Parsley again, and I would go with turmeric.
So what would you do with mustard seed?
Oh, my. Mustard seed is... It's amazing. It has the same properties as ginger. I would use it as a foot bath. It's very good for congested lungs. So you could take it with Epsom salt as a foot soak and to help clear lung congestion. Put it in your bath. It's great for stimulation and circulation.
Wow. Now, I also did research and found that the mustard seed oil is good for putting on your scalp. To help, I know one of the other symptoms of menopause is hair loss and hair thinning, and the mustard seed oil will actually help in the reduction of hair loss. What are your thoughts on that?
It's true. Again, it stimulates the scalp, so it helps to bring circulation there. So circulation is what we need. And again, going back to diet, we have to make sure that the foods and the minerals are there so that there's a balance to support the hair to grow.
So what, hormonally speaking, would cause the hair to thin to begin with?
There can be a variety of things. Poor circulation, again, constipation, and that can be of various things. Of the length, again, not getting the circulation there, inflammation in the body. So there's no, the scalp isn't able to breathe. Mm-hmm. And higher carbohydrates in the body, so there's a lack of oxygen. So all of these things need to be present for there to be a healthy balance for hair or for whatever it is, a weight to maintain a proper size or proper weight. It's the same thing.
Wow, very interesting. So give everyone your website and how they can reach you, because this is fascinating, and we really need to understand that we have the ability to truly empower ourselves to change what we don't like if something's not working and we're not in harmony, because it is about body, mind, and spirit. So this is the body part, really understanding how we need to get it in harmony so that we can be healthy and vibrant and live a nice long life without, you know, illness. So if you would give everyone your contact information.
Sure. It's Olive Seed, and that's OLIVE-SEED.com.
Okay. And on your site, you also have products and things as well that they can go and check out. You have herbs. What sort of things do you offer on your site that might be of interest to people?
Well, I offer anything to support anyone in their natural health and wellness journey. So I offer children's products that are toxic-free, no BPAs, and are, you know, leave a less toxic footprint on the environment. I offer herbs. There's also going to be custom herbal preparations on there. I have vitamins and minerals. There's a variety of things, water bottles, anything to support you on your health and wellness journey.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And I did this because, yes, and there will be foods as well, which I'll do locally. A lot of times people were unable to find healthier options, especially in the inner city area. When you go to the store, there's high sugary beverages. There isn't a different choice. I also offer candy bars or energy bars for kids or natural bars. There's the macro greens and, you know, things of that sort that are live enzymes that you can't find in your local neighborhood store in the inner city.
Mm. So, yeah, there's going to be all sorts of, well, there are all sorts of things on there that we can get to make this process of integrating all of these things into our diet a lot easier. So very, very cool. And so on your site, can they contact you and say, look, I have this symptom. Can we discuss it? I know you live in Detroit, so we don't need to live in Michigan to be able to get your service. So can people contact you and discuss with you what's going on, or if they know what type of herbs they need, they can just go and order those kind of things themselves?
They can. There's a contact me on my page for Olive Seed. They can either call me at 313-757-0993 or simply just send me an email and they can get that information from the website.
Okay. And of course, you know, we have to put out our little disclaimer here. We're not doctors, but understanding the human condition and the science of it and how it really, you know, God created everything to help us. And so herbs have been around for, well, I don't even know how many, a million years, however long. And so these things are here to truly assist us. And, you know, it makes sense if we're going to empower ourselves spiritually, we should empower ourselves in the physical as well, because this body is with us after all. So, very important information. Is there anything that you would like to add that we didn't cover?
Well, I would like people to look at it, healing as a whole, and that is to look at the thoughts that they're thinking, the products that they're using, the exercise, the food. It all goes hand in hand, and to have complete balance, you have to look at all of those things, you know, to reduce your toxic load on the body, to make sure you're eating consciously every single day. And you really can create a medicinal food, healing foods every single day just by adding dry herbs. But you just have to, or fresh herbs, but you have to be conscious about it every single day. So to make those conscious decisions so that you can really live a healthy and optimal life.
Absolutely. And I would add, because you're saying conscious decisions. And that's one thing that I really practice and I teach for those who join me in coaching sessions, to get off of autopilot. You know, if you keep doing the same things that you've been doing, you'll keep getting the results. We need to get off of autopilot and become conscious thinkers. We need to pay attention to, in this moment, what am I creating? And so now, as we take that and we, you know, I talk about it in the spiritual realms and understanding that I'm creating my experiences. Now we put that into our food and our nutrition, because now we have the tools to now consciously choose to eat in a way that's going to bring my body healthy, that's going to give me vitality, right? That my hair won't fall out, that I'll sleep better, that I'll feel better, that I'll have more energy to create this life as a co-creator with Source, that it is, that I get to create this life. And so Now I have another part of the puzzle. And so that's really what this is. It's bringing you that part of the puzzle that was missing. How do I implement herbs and, you know, and these different things to make life better in the physical as well as I'm creating and co-creating in the non-physical. So absolutely wonderful. I want to thank you because this truly has been enlightening. And hopefully, you know, everyone, if they just go out and get those five basic herbs and start with those, the cayenne pepper, the, say them again, please, because I want everyone to make sure they get those in the last few moments.
Sure. Mustard seed, plantain. That's not your normal one. You don't really see that, but it's very good for bites and removing toxins from the body. Yarrow. You can buy yarrow tea. Parsley and turmeric.
Perfect.
I would say.
Perfect. And so that's a wonderful place to start and a wonderful place
easily to add to your diet.
And a good place to end the conversation. So I want to thank you. Until next time, take care and we will talk soon.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it, everyone. Lots of wonderful information on creating your herbal toolbox, what herbs are going to help you, different things that you can do in your diet to tweak it, to bring simple ideas of these herbs into your diet to help you from everything from weight gain to fatigue to detoxifying. And so wonderful. And if you have any further questions, of course, feel free to connect with Latricia Wright at olive-seed.com. Again, I am Reverend Dr. Edviz. You have been listening to Affirmations for Living. Until next week, be safe, be blessed, and know that you are co-creator of your experience. What are you creating today? Bye-bye for now.